And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening. Your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope that you all are enjoying life in spite of the crisis that we're going through. I think we're getting some good news, though. I think what's happening with this communist Chinese Wuhan virus situation is that it is plateauing. I talked to a medical doctor this very day who told me that there had been a meeting here in our area, and all the data suggests that the thing is plateaued. It is now declining. I believe that's happening all over the country, by the way. We've seen reports of that in New York for the last several days, almost a week now. And so I think it's just going to take a while for the media to catch up because they're so invested in the hysteria that I don't think they really want to report any good news at all. And obviously, it's going to take some time for these mayors and governors who are so invested in the vast amount of power that they think it has given them to control the lives of people, for them to catch up as well with the fact that this is not nearly what it was purported to be, that it is now plateauing and declining. And situations like what we face in Virginia, where this governor who thinks he's Nero or something has shut down the state until June 10th. Shut down the state until June 10th. And I had a medical doctor with, to my knowledge, no political predisposition whatsoever, tell me, the data we're seeing shows that it has plateaued and is beginning to decline. He said, now, you know, we're still taking it very seriously, but we clearly now are on the downswing. So, and yet we've got two more months of lockdown in Virginia because this governor has decided that he's going to use this opportunity to expand his power as well as to interfere with the Republican primary that was scheduled for June 9th. And so his lockdown doesn't end until June 10th. By the way, folks, so glad to be with you. Thank you all for praying for AFR and praying for me and praying for all of our hosts here. I got a lovely letter from one of our listeners, chiding me a little bit about me saying that churches had a right to meet and so forth. And he gave me something of a legal analysis, which he had heard. And I don't disagree with the legal analysis, by the way, that was sent to me, because what it basically said is that the Constitution allows public officials the authority to regulate our fundamental rights as long as there is a compelling state interest and they're doing so with the least drastic means. I went into a little bit more detail about the threat or the interest being major and widespread, and that's based on some constitutional jurisprudence and whatnot. Let me say this, folks, why none of that moves me. Because number one, none of that suggests that there is an inherent unspoken, unwritten power in any mayor or governor to unilaterally decide what they think is major and what they think it's required, and then they can unilaterally, like dictators, do whatever they want to do. That just doesn't exist, folks. It just doesn't exist. I mean, here's a perfect example. You've actually got counties in the country where there are no cases, none. Now, you don't have any states where there are none, but you've got counties where there are none. And you mean to tell me some county official is, well, we've got a major problem and we've got to lock you down and you can't go to church anymore and you can't go outside anymore? I mean, no, they don't have the authority to do that. Here's the other thing that's forgotten sometimes when people hear these analyses. Well, there is inherent authority in a crisis to do. Look, the 14th Amendment provides that you cannot deprive a person of liberty or property without due process of law. What's the due process? Well, due process is not some governor standing up on his haunches and pontificating and saying, because I'm the governor, I have the right to declare martial law. No, you don't. Where's your statutory authority for that? Where's your constitutional authority for that? Where's the constitutional authority to stop someone who is riding in their car alone and tell them that they are in violation of a lockdown and give them a $205 fine. Where's your authority to arrest a parent in a park with two children alone by themselves, social distance from everybody else? Where's your authority to arrest that father playing with his wife and children in a park, arrest him because he's in violation of quote unquote an order? There is no constitutional authority for that. And likewise, there's no constitutional authority to tell a church that they cannot meet. There's none. Because, look, let's keep something in mind too, folks. Because, of course, part of the analysis is, well, look, if you apply this to all, religious institutions, and you apply this to all places where people gather, then you can apply it equally to churches. I disagree with that. For this reason, a church is a unique kind of institution. And generally speaking, churches meet once a week. The bar's open every day. Walmart's open every day. The hairdresser, the nail shop, they're open every day. So when you say you can't meet except with this number of people, what you are doing is telling every other institution, for the most part, you can manage traffic coming in, but you're basically telling a church, but you can't. You can't. Because that once a week when you meet, you cannot accommodate the people who need your service. So it falls, therefore, disproportionately on religious institutions and even more disproportionately on churches, because the majority of religious institutions in the United States of America are churches. And, you know, the last time I looked at constitutional jurisprudence, the way the left likes to read it, anytime there's a disproportionate effect on a particular group, that requires strict scrutiny. It requires sort of microscopic constitutional examination. And so, folks, we've seen the abuses. We've seen them. You know, the mayor of Louisville talking, we're gonna go around the church parking lot and take down license plate numbers. And one county in California saying it is illegal to go to church as of now. It is a crime to attend church. See, part of the guidance of the Constitution is not simply that, well, here is when government may act, but also here is how government may go about deciding how it will act. Do you all understand what I'm saying? So in other words, you don't have a situation which you can say, well, constitutionally, it's okay under these circumstances, and therefore Americans stand up and declare, I declare that these are the constitutional circumstances in which I may become a dictator. No, it doesn't work like that. You've got to go back to your city council. City council has got to hear from the citizens, because I'm sure you all are hearing that there's some people now rising up across the country saying, hey, look, you know, enough, enough. We still are free people. And we don't have a government that we serve. We have a government that serves us. And so I really do appreciate the debate. I really do. Because part of my issue has been there hasn't been any debate. I mean, think about it. There's really not been any debate. They declared, everybody was expected to obey. And I'm saying, no, that's not the way a constitutional republic works. Because we are not charged, the people are not charged with obedience to the government unless it goes through certain processes and procedures that have been established to make sure that it stays within its limited bounds. Quite the contrary, the government is required to be obedient to the people once we have acted through the appropriate constitutional practice of democratic means for deciding whatever particular issue we need to decide. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Yesterday, I talked about the need for economists and political leaders to create an endgame to the current lockdown on our society. The obvious objection to this can be found in the numerous cliches that portray any discussion as an attempt to trade dollars for death. The governor of New York, for example, scolds, "No one should be talking about social Darwinism for the sake of the stock market." He argues, "We will not put a dollar figure on human life." But even the editors of the New York Times recently described this as a false choice. Shelter in place has been necessary, but there must be a time in the future when government leaders must consider the economic and humanitarian trade-offs. Reopening American society isn't as much about the stock market as it is about the everyday lives of millions of Americans. Frankly, the wealthy will probably weather the current lockdown, but that is not true of the poor and even middle class who have no savings to rely on. As I mentioned yesterday, income is a strong predictor of health outcomes. People who are poor don't live as long. Americans who have lost wages and lost jobs are less likely to prosper. They won't eat as well, and they won't buy medications because they're simply trying to buy food and pay the rent. For the purist who argues that we should never talk about trade-offs, we can point to many current examples. Fewer people would die on highways if the speed limit was 25 miles per hour. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety found that highway fatalities rose 8.5% for every increase of 5 miles an hour. Cigarette smoking is responsible for 480,000 deaths per year, and 88,000 people die each year from alcohol-related causes. But we don't ban either of these. We make policy trade-offs every day. We need a national conversation about the cost and benefit of our current lockdown. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
A moment of truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
In the beginning, God is how the Bible starts. Genesis goes on to describe the creation of the world and human life. In creating man and woman, God created someone in His image. By that act, God demonstrates the value and importance of human life. With the command, "Thou shalt not kill or murder," God shows the sacredness of life from conception to natural death. For that reason, you and I should do everything in our power to work against legislation and thinking that would legalize euthanasia, doctor-assisted suicide, and abortion on demand. It is the life that God created, that Jesus died for, that we should hold dear and sacred.
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit aim2020.com.
Brian Fisher here. Who gets to make the call, President Trump or the governors? More resistance to the only drug proven to work on the virus. The model that is so precious to Dr. Fauci fails again spectacularly. It's time for Trump to cut off his water. And why Governor Abbott of Texas is the most important man in America. That and more next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Now, folks, interestingly, talking about the constitutional questions that are raised by the way we've been handling this communist Chinese Wuhan virus, otherwise known as the coronavirus or COVID-19. My guest is somebody who's been in the middle of constitutional debate for a long time and is one of the leading constitutional litigators in the country, and in fact is representing Reverend Dr. Rodney Howard Brown from River Church in Tampa, who was arrested recently for holding worship services. Matt, thanks for taking time out. Glad to have you on.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Matt Staver, folks, is the head of Liberty Council. And if you ever get into constitutional difficulties for trying to exercise your rights, Liberty Council is the place you want to call. Matt, I just had Rodney Howard Brown on a conference call just 10 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago or so, and he didn't want to get into the legalities, so we were talking in sort of generalities about what's going on in our country and the way churches in general are being treated. You represent a lot of people who have faced persecution for simply trying to exercise their First Amendment rights. And we know we've got a crisis with this virus. It may be a bit overstated, frankly, but nevertheless, it's appropriate that we do whatever we can to deal with it. But to what extent are you concerned about constitutional overreach by particularly state and local governments that are taking upon themselves to put restrictions on people that may or may not pass constitutional muster?
Well, Bishop, I'm very concerned because we see this happening all over the country. Obviously, we do need to do what we can to protect the health and safety of individuals. No question about that. That's not even a debate. However, on the other hand, the First Amendment and our constitutional freedoms do not evaporate even in a time of crisis. They don't go away. And there's this idea that you ought to just put them aside. Well, the problem is that there's a lot of churches that cannot flip off the lights and go to a podcast and continue all of their essential services. The church with Dr. Rodney Howard Brown is one of those, for example. We represent the River Church. He was wrongfully arrested. It's an unbelievable situation of what they did to him and how they actually set this up. There's only one enforceable order that was actually issued on Friday night at 10 o'clock in the evening. The sheriff had already given the church a green light based upon all the health precautions that they were going to do, reducing the size of the sanctuary, removing chairs, enforcing six-foot separation, installing over $100,000 of high-grade hospital air purification systems throughout the sanctuary and the building. This particular church has a farmer's market in the lobby. They grow their own hydroponic food, fruits and vegetables. They have their own tilapia farm. They feed 900 families every single week. They have a big inner city mission and ministry. Even the same sheriff's department credited this church with the reduction of crime after their ministry began going into the inner city. Those kinds of things can't be just simply flipped to online broadcast. Many of their people don't have the internet. We represent a church, for example, in Virginia, and we're getting ready to file suit there. It's the Lighthouse Church. That church has a 293-seat sanctuary. On a Sunday, two Sundays ago, they had 16 people, six people more than the magic number that the governor has defined as being appropriate, six people more. Now, these people don't have internet. The church doesn't have internet. Many of them don't have driver's license. These are people that they minister to that are former addicts. They're coming off of drugs or alcohol addiction, prostitution as well. The only family that many of them have is the church. If you shut the church down, they are disconnected from their family to help them get through the next week. They do all kinds of things beyond preaching. Preaching is a small part of what they do. And so they had six people over the limit. Now, this pastor has been criminally indicted. He faces up to a year in jail and a $2,500 fine. They threatened that if they return on Easter, that every single person in the church, even though it was a small number, spaced out in the 293-seat sanctuary, 16 people, that they would all be criminally indicted. For some of them, that would be a revocation of their probation for those that are on probation. So, you know, when we see what's happening around the country, like, for example, in Louisville, Kentucky, we represent a church there. In Louisville, the mayor said you can't have parking lot services. Well, you can go down just a mile from the churches there where all these churches are, and you can go to the Home Depot. And all the church members, if you wanted to, could go to Home Depot, turn on the radio, and listen to their pastor preach. No problem. But if those same people went to the church parking lot and listened to the pastor preach, all of a sudden they're going to be targeted. And what happened Sunday is that the police ticketed the cars and gave them a notice of quarantine, that they have to be quarantined for 14 days. I mean, this is just unbelievable. So you can go to liquor stores, you can go to Walmart, Kmart, doesn't matter. You don't have to social distance, but when you drive to a parking lot to listen to a message, that's what's being targeted. So this is happening, Bishop, around the country, and that causes me grave concern.
Matt, what is behind this? You've done enough constitutional litigation to have a good read on the motives of people. I think some of these police officers are probably just misguided. But, I mean, common sense would just tell you, if you've got a sanctuary that seats nearly 300 people, and you've got 16 people spaced well apart there, what is the problem? But yeah, it almost like it seems like it's more about control than it is about actually keeping people healthy.
Well, I think that's exactly right. You know, that's, I think, clearly what you see happening in Virginia. Abortion services are considered essential. On Good Friday, the governor signs into law laws that actually remove restrictions on abortion to make it more liberalized. And then he issues these statements that if you go to a church, we're sending out the police. And we're going to put a sticker on your car, and you and all your occupants and anybody you've ever come in contact with are going to have to be quarantined for 14 days. Why? Because what's on the outside of that building is the name of a church. But if you did the same thing in a Home Depot parking lot, no problem. That's okay. You can buy essential things such as potted plants and garden hoses, no problem. You don't have to socially distance, no problem. So that's happening around the country. And so some of these, I know for a fact, is animosity to the church, animosity to Christianity. That's exactly what happened in Hillsborough County. In Hillsborough County, where the Tampa church is, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, this brand-new order came out. It had 42 paragraphs of exemptions, and then a catch-all paragraph that if you don't meet any of those 42, you can do whatever you want if you're a business, as long as you do the six-foot separation. No even thought about a church. Why? They thought about it, all right. They thought about it. The mayor is very hostile to Christianity. She was the one pushing the Change Council ban in Tampa. We filed suit against that earlier last year, and we won that case, got it struck down. She's very hostile to churches and Christians. And so I think in that case, there's no question that you have specific animosity against churches and particularly Christians.
Do you think that this has potential long-lasting effects? Because I've been saying from the very beginning, we need to be careful about setting precedents that then get used in the future to justify actions that are well beyond the Constitution and having somebody say, oh, well, we did it during the coronavirus.
Yes, it does have long-term. It has not only the short-term complications and problems, but really it is laying a foundation for long-term. And it's not just with regards to churches. It's with individual liberty, digital ID, mandatory vaccinations, all these different things that are coming out that are just far beyond what we're seeing happening to churches. I just issued a statement today, a release, and it's talking about the collateral damage of the COVID-19 restrictions and what's happening. And I predicted it, and anybody who, like yourself, has dealt with people, you know that this was going to happen. In the United States and around the world, there's a dramatic increase of domestic violence and abuse, child sexual exploitation with children being sexually exploited at an increased rate, live streamed on the internet while it's actually happening. There is a dramatic increase of mental stress. There is a dramatic increase of depression and various kinds of suicide. You know, suicide has actually increased around the world. In the United States, it's becoming alarming in some place. And there is a real dramatic increase in the rise of pornography and alcohol consumption. And so what you're seeing, like in India, for example, the online consumption of pornography increased by 95% shortly after the lockdowns.
Wow.
The same thing is happening to different percentages in the United States. There are people who have been formerly addicted to pornography that are coming out with testimonies that they have been relapsed. I'm telling you, there's a lot of what I call forgotten people that are being harmed by these lockdowns.
The law of unintended consequences,
yeah.
The cure, as
yeah,
the president
and, you know,
said.
It just stands to reason. When you take people's jobs away or take their security away, you lock them up into small places. The kids perhaps are home. They don't know about where their next meal is going to come from. They're watching the media all the time, and it's constant panic and fear. And then they're trying to occupy their time because they can't leave the house in many of these places around the country. And it's a recipe for disaster that's happening right now.
Well, listen, I've got to take a break. Can you stay over for the next segment? Because I've got some questions I want to ask you about how people should deal with this if they're confronted with law enforcement threatening them with arrest and that kind of thing. So,
sure.
Folks, our guest is Matt Staver from Liberty Council. Stand by.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
One day, while walking with some friends in a back street of Florence, The great sculptor Michelangelo saw a block of marble amid a rubbish heap. The marble was rough, shapeless, even stained. None of his friends paid any attention to the piece of marble and were surprised when Michelangelo sought to recover it. One of the friends asked Michelangelo what he wanted with a worthless piece of rock. His reply, "There's an angel in that stone, and I must get it out." Countless other people had passed by that rubbish heap and had seen the piece of marble, but not a single one of them thought of the discarded piece of rock as having any significant value in it. It took the eyes of a master sculptor to see the hidden beauty. How many times and in how many areas of life this story could be retold. Something of great value we pass every day because we cannot see the hidden beauty. Someone has asked what the significance of the Christian faith is. What is it about this religion that sets it above other religions? Well, one thing is the ability of the Galilean to see hidden beauty and strength in people, which passes the vision of others. No one had ever thought of Matthew, the hated tax collector in Capernaum, as having any quality about him worthy of redeeming. Even Matthew himself probably thought there was nothing of particular value about himself, except, of course, his money. But one day Christ was walking along the road when he came to Matthew's collecting station. The carpenter looked at Matthew and saw in him one who could help change the world for God's purpose. And Christ picked Matthew, the tax collector, up out of the rubbish pile and polished him into a creature of beauty and strength. Once I was invited to preach in a little country church. After the service had begun, I noticed a person enter whom I had known while growing up. This person had come up the hard way and had lived a rather rough life. So I was surprised to see him in a church service. I asked someone about him later and was told that he was one of the most faithful members that the church had. That person would have been the last person I would have ever expected to see in church. But the shepherd of men saw the beauty which was hidden from human eyes and had worked to bring the beauty out. What is it which is so special about this Christ we follow? It is his ability to take lives which have been discarded as worthless by fellow humans, to redeem and change them, and to shape them into lives of beauty and strength. In every life there is some hidden beauty. Every person has about him some of life's greatest qualities. And it is this Galilean, this master sculptor of men, who can bring these qualities to surface. I know this to be true because I've seen it with my own eyes.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, we're back. My guest is Matt Staver. Matt is a constitutional expert, has been involved in defending people's, Christians particularly, First Amendment rights for a long time. Matt, so that we don't run out of time and forget to do this, if people want to follow your work, and I know here again, it goes back way before this virus hit. How do they do that? What's the best way for them to connect with you, follow your work?
They can go to our website. It's fairly simple, just two letters, lc.org, L like in liberty, C like in council.org, lc.org. That's the best.
Okay. And if they, I'm sure they can get their number. If somebody's got, they're having some sort of problem that they think is an infringement on their First Amendment rights, they can call and get screened
right
by your folks there, right?
Yeah, our phone number and all of our contact information is right there on that webpage, lc.org. But again, the number would be 407-875-1776, 407-875-1776. But the easiest way is just to go to lc.org.
You've been at this for a long time. I won't guess, but I mean, it goes back a couple decades, doesn't it?
That does, yeah. This is our 31st year of Liberty Council's existence.
Wow.
But I was doing constitutional law just before that. Even in law school, I was involved in constitutional law, helping write briefs on pro-life cases.
Now, folks, I don't usually have an opportunity to get questions to a guest, but because Matt has been kind enough to stay over for a second segment, if you all have a question, 888-589-8840, I'll try to get one or two questions in before we have to let him go. That's 888-589-8840. Matt, I have two quick questions as we wait to see some what callers we get on the line and what questions we have. One is, I get the sense that the virus has become a justification for mayors and governors and, for that matter, county leaders to just declare that from this point on, this is going to be the rule. I mean, there's no legislative action, no councils acted, no legislatures acted. They just decide they've got the authority to do this. And I know with our governor, what he cited did not get. I read the statute he cited and read the constitutional provision, Virginia constitutional provision, and neither one gave him the authority to tell people they could be stopped to find out where they were on their way to or anything like that. Do you get the sense that people are sort of just making up this authority out of whole cloth and using the coronavirus to justify it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've seen that all over the country, and we're dealing all over the country with all these orders. As of last count, there was over 1,000 of these orders, and you have to understand that a lot of these orders have amendments to them, because they forgot to add something or they want to take something out. So, what's happening is you have a single governor in most cases, or a mayor, and sometimes you might have a county council, but usually it's a single individual, and they just rip off these executive orders without even thinking about how these things apply. Like, for example, Osceola County, which is where Disney is, they just decided to, as of Monday, have a mask requirement, but not the kind. They don't want you to wear the N95 mask or the surgical mask. They want you to make your own mask. Well, that's a problem in itself when you start doing research on it, because of the contamination that could cause and the ineffectiveness. But this particular people that did that didn't even look at the state law that says it's illegal in Florida to cover your face as a mask. And the reason why that is because criminals could cover their face, go into a store and rob it. And we've seen videos of that happening. They don't even think about, you know, there's a law out there that says you can't do that. How are we going to reconcile it? They don't even pretend that they know that it exists. So there's a lot of these things where they just do it. The one thing that is concerning is that they do it. The other thing that's more concerning to me, Bishop, is that so many people just think that it's okay. That's the bigger problem. And that's the problem where I think so many people are fearful, and they just think that it's okay to temporarily give away our rights. No big deal. We'll all get through this. And let's just go with whatever this person says, no matter what their worldview is, no matter whether they're correct, and no matter whether it's simply throwing out state law or constitutional law, and no matter what kind of foundation it's putting in place. What I see is that the more that they continue to do these executive orders and they thrive in these daily press conferences, and they're getting all this attention, is the more power they get, the more power they want. When they get more power, they're not likely to just easily relinquish that. It sets, as you said earlier, a precedent for taking away our liberties even greater in the future.
Yeah, one officer or sheriff in Mississippi, when challenged by a pastor that he was arresting, was told, by order of the governor, your rights are suspended.
I know. Believe that or not. I mean, that's true. That's what they say. Well, look, there's nothing in the Constitution, and you know this, certainly, there's nothing in the Constitution that says, well, the Constitution is just put on pause. Let's put the pause button on. Let's not think about it when we have a declared state of the emergency. No, the Constitution doesn't go away. The Constitution stays there. The rights are never evaporated. You just look at what the interest is of the government, and you have to balance it. But one of the things you don't do is you don't just simply jettison the rights. Our rights don't go away. We had a judge in Florida deciding on his own. He just issued an administrative order. If you get arrested for a violation of any of these orders by the county or a quarantine or isolation order, there will be no bond. He's revoking bond. I mean, we're talking about sitting in jail with no opportunity to bond out. I mean, that's just absolutely unconstitutional.
And that borders on just being totally tyrannical. So That's chilling. In other words, it's frightening people to know that you're not going to be coddled over this. We're going to put you in jail, and you're going to sit there until we decide.
You're going to sit there until we have our good and ready time to listen to you. But it doesn't mean that once we listen to you, we're going to let you go. You might just continue to sit there. So that's a real problem. You know, even in the Rodney Howard Brown case, what he was cited for is a second-degree misdemeanor. Now, that's two months in prison maximum, $500 fine. The sheriff's own internal policies say you don't arrest people for misdemeanors, whether it's first degree or second degree. You don't arrest them. You give them a notice of violation. If they don't appear and they refuse to appear, yeah, you can go out and get them, but you don't arrest them. That's the policy. They just set it aside. Why? Because they wanted to make a special example and shame the pastor and use their unbelievable platform to bully people into silence and intimidation.
Let's try to get a couple calls in here. Let's go to Mark in Virginia. Mark in Virginia, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, neighbor?
Doing great.
I got a question. I'm a civilian. In fact, everybody on this conversation is a civilian. How in the world can we be arrested, fined, or whatever for breaking an order? It's not law.
Well, that's a good question. Certainly in some of these places, they have statutes, and we have to come back and revisit this when this is passed, that give this unchecked, seemingly unchecked power to a governor to do things in a state of emergency. Now, they're never unchecked because the state constitution and the federal constitutions don't just simply get suspended. They don't get put on pause. So a lot of these things, they just happen. And they put out the police force to enforce it, and they have to be constitutionally challenged in order to put them back. That's what happened Saturday afternoon. A Louisville judge ruled that it was unconstitutional what the mayor and the governor were doing to prohibit a parking lot church service, that violated the First Amendment. It's a well-written opinion, but that's how we have to challenge it. And unfortunately, these things are moving so fast. That it's like a whack-a-mole almost in some parts of the country.
Let's go to one more question. Let's see. We got Tommy in Oklahoma. Tommy, welcome.
This is Kenny. Hello, Bishop and Matt.
Hello.
Matt, can you hear
yes,
me?
Yes, you're on.
Sir, I sure hope that you and many, many other organizations are doing something to stop the Democrats from stealing the election through online voting and mail-in voting. Please focus on that, and please try to stop the Democrats from stealing our next election. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Timmy. Appreciate the call.
Well, thank you. And that goes back, Bishop, to what we were talking about earlier, some of the precedent that's being set, and some people trying to use this panic around the coronavirus to accomplish other agendas. And there's no question that in the minds of many that have that agenda, this upcoming election is what they're looking at, to literally find ways to beat the president and ultimately take away some of our freedoms in so many other areas.
Matt, thank you for the call. I mean, thank you for being on with me as a guest. Folks, we'll be back in a moment. God bless you, Matt.
God is telling a larger story than the story that takes place between my birth and my death.
Dr. Larry Crabb on Focus on the Family Minute.
He's telling a story that begins for me at the cross and continues forever at the coming. So the question for me to ask is not how is my birth to death life going? Is my marriage good? Are my kids doing well? Of course I pray for that. But sometimes the kids aren't doing good. Sometimes the marriage doesn't work. What do you do then? And that's when you say, what does the cross make possible when life doesn't work? So I talk about the larger story. I call it the in-between story, in between the cross and the coming, not in between your birth and your death. Get that perspective, and in my mind, everything changes.
Look for God's larger story to find peace in the midst of the storm. More from Dr. Crabb at FamilyMinute.org.
Did you know that as a federal or state employee, you have the opportunity to support the American Family Association through the Combined Federal Campaign? You can designate a deduction each month to the organization of your choice, and AFA number 12037 is one of the few on the list fighting for your family. Help us continue to do so by designating your CFC contribution to 12037 when completing the CFC form in your payroll department.
This is Franklin Graham. As news about the coronavirus seems to worsen, many people are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. We want to help. At the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, we have a prayer line that's open 24/7. We have staff who would love to speak with you, pray with you. Remember, God loves you.
Call 1-888-388-2683. That's 1-888-388-2683. Or visit billygraham.org.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Folks, you can go to lc.org. That was Matt Staver. He's the founder and president of Liberty Council. Great man. I've been admiring his work for many, many years and had the privilege of working with Matt and being on the same roster as him. And you just couldn't find a better expert on these issues. And to the wonderful listener who wrote me, concerned that the Constitution gives these authorities the right to do the things that they're doing, you just heard from a constitutional expert that all over the country, people are doing things, officials are doing things that are not constitutional. So they don't have any blanket authority to do the things that they're doing. I picked up an article in something called The Gleaner, by a guy named Michael Abrams, who is apparently very, very virulently anti-Christian, but he's apparently got a big, long reach into the precincts of the left. And here's what he said. Religious folks believe that they have relationships with their deities and that these supernatural beings will answer their prayers and protect them. Indeed, in the Bible, Jesus said that if you ask, you will receive, and spoke of the power of having faith even as small as a mustard seed, while Psalm 23 tells us about having faith and being protected by God. It says, the COVID-19 pandemic affords us an excellent opportunity to confront religious beliefs that are not only irrational, but dangerous. We must be honest about what prayer and faith can and cannot do. And then toward the end, he says this, and folks, get ready for this, because I'm reading something that is blasphemous, but I want you all to hear what is being said in the precincts of the left. This is the stuff that Nancy Pelosi is reading. This is the stuff that Chuck Schumer is reading. This is the stuff that a lot of these people on the left, Bernie Sanders and these other folks, this is what they live for. This is what drives them. This is why they had in their summer conference last year a declaration that secular progressives, non-faith people are represent their values. They're basically a declaration that we don't like people who believe in God. Here's what he ended with. Some truths are harsh, but the evidence is out there. The blood of Jesus offers woefully inadequate protection against COVID-19. The novel COVID virus is not hemophobic. It will dive into and swim through the blood of Jesus and bite you're behind. That's what the left is putting out. And folks, you don't think, anybody listening to me doesn't think that this is a tremendous effort that is being exploited to persecute Christians and persecute the church. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Let's come to your calls. We'll get as many in as we can. Oh, we've only got a few minutes, folks, but I wanted you all to have a chance to talk to Matt, so I want to take some time, extra time with him. Let's see, who's been on the line waiting? Let's go to Joshua in Pennsylvania. Joshua in Pennsylvania, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I just want to say you're one of the heroes of one of my top 10 heroes. I'm homeschooled, so I get done around 1. I come in here, I listen to you, so you're one of the highlights of my day. But
thank you, Joshua. Thank you.
My dad, he's a former Marine as well. He was discussing about how the economy is cyclical, and right now everybody's kind of panicking about, oh, the economy is going to fall. This is the Great Depression, which I do believe, which it can become like that if we continue the shutdown of the economy for as long as it does. But I think that after this whole coronavirus is over, we're going to see an amazing rise in the economy, because the employment rate's going to rise up so much that it's going to boost the economy as well. And
wow.
I just want to say thank you, and hopefully I can call you in to your program again. Thank you.
Well, Joshua, how old are you?
13.
Joshua, you have made my day today. Joshua, I try to send something to anybody who blesses me. So would you hold on the line? If you all could get Joshua's address, Joshua, I want to send you a gift, because you really blessed me today. When I hear from a 13-year-old with the wisdom with which you speak, Joshua, that is an extraordinary thing. God bless you, Joshua. Appreciate
Thank
the call.
You.
All right, let's go to... let's go to Violet in Louisiana. Violet, welcome. Violet, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, Violet. Hello? Yes, Violet, you're
okay.
On.
Have you heard about the Rockefeller Technology Report made in 2010 that describes a scenario just like this pandemic? It calls it the lockdown. I think it's called the lockdown, or and it's on, you can Google it and pull it up. They have planned this. It describes exactly what we're going through right now, word for word.
Well, Violet, I'll tell you, I don't have any doubt that what is happening right now, I don't traffic in conspiracy theories, but I don't think what is happening right now is an accident. I think that what is happening right now is something that others have longed for. Either it's been engineered, or maybe the release was accidental, but the results are being engineered. But I don't have any doubt that this thing is being exploited to the hilt to hurt America, to hurt Americans, and frankly, to advance the cause of Marxism and socialism and communism in the world. So I'm going to check that out, though, Violet. Thank you for Joshua, would you call back? Or Joshua, if you're still listening, you can just email me at ewj@standamerica.us, ewj@standamerica.us. Make it easier on my producers. Let's go to Sherry in Oklahoma. Sherry in Oklahoma, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
Joshua blessed me to being 13 and with all that wisdom, my goodness. Does President Trump, is he aware of how the state is persecuting the church? He's all this time been for Christianity,
right,
and the Jewish, you know, church or synagogues, and I don't hear him doing anything.
Well, Sherry, he has not, I don't recall him mentioning that, but Attorney General Barr has said that they are watching mayors and governors And if they are persecuting churches, that they're going to have to answer to the Attorney General. So the fact that he said that at least makes me know that the president's administration is aware of it. Now, whether he is, I don't know, because, you know, when he's aware of something that bothers him, he tends to talk about it. So he may or may not be, but at least Attorney General Barr is. So there's something there. And if it gets serious enough, I have no doubt that the president will be made aware of it if he's not already. So take heart with that, Sherry. And thank you so much for the call. Let's see. Let's go to Diane in Mississippi. Diane in Mississippi, welcome.
Yes, this is Diane in Mississippi. I just want to tell you, Bishop Jackson, I appreciate y'all. You're the only one I know of just about left in America that has a backbone.
Well, God bless you, Diane.
I just wanted to comment on the part about the church shutdown and the thing, because our church is a small church, but we also have circled out. There's 6 feet between each cars on our parking lot, and our preacher put up a tent with a microphone. Of course, nobody has bothered us. I live in Pearl, and I believe our mayor would not allow that. But I wanted to say also on this thing about the thing that's going on, I believe that prophecy is fulfilling. They're putting people in jail for Christ's name's sake. They're persecuting Christians mm-hmm. everywhere as far as all the stuff with the chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew is coming to pass. They're putting people in jail, and they're being persecuted for the Lord's name. And also, this thing about Biden, and I don't know, but I guess I'm probably, I heard him say he's going to get a woman. I believe that it's going to be Michelle Obama, and he's going to probably fade or disappear. No telling what will happen. But she's, even though he's not going to be president, they said they were trying to make him vice president, if they could pull that law off, I guess. Oof. But anyway, he would be running it even if she did get it.
Yeah.
I'm like y'all, but I just want y'all to know I pray for.
Thank you.
I pray for y'all, and y'all are doing a great job. But sometimes
you,
this stuff, it is just. And I know it's.
I know. I know, Diane. I'm almost out of time. Let me try to get one more caller on, Diane. But thank you so much for the call, and thank you for the encouraging words. Do appreciate it. Let's go to John in Kansas. John, welcome.
Yes, thank you, sir. I love your program. A caller yesterday was real concerned about her son that was overseas and could not get back home to the United States because flights were canceled.
Yes.
Information for her. The U.S. State Department has brought back 50,000 Americans from overseas on specialized flights where there are no commercial flights. And Pompeo from Kansas here has worked diligently to get that done. So she should contact the U.S. State Department to see what she can get done.
Excellent. Thank you, John. Really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Well, folks, thank you all for praying for us, and we're certainly praying for you all. And we are going to get through this, and I'm always an optimistic person. It's because of my faith in Jesus Christ that God says, I know the plans I have for you. And I really believe that because of folks like you all, when we come out on the other side of this, there's going to be a reckoning, not the kind of reckoning the left tries to do of hurting people and persecuting people and locking people up and threatening people and all of that. I'm talking about the kind of reckoning that says, hey, wait a minute, we are still a constitutional republic. And unlike what that particular law enforcement official said, our rights can't be suspended by any governor or mayor. They can't even be suspended by the president of the United States, folks, because they were given to us by God, and he's not suspending them. So listen, God bless each and every one of you. We'll be back again, of course, tomorrow. And in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.